In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I enjoy hiking, usually not in the snow. But I'm not a big-time impressive hiker, right? There are some that go out and they do these amazing trips. I've been on the Appalachian Trail for a total of maybe 3 hours. But I like walking in the woods. And so when we lived in the Bronx, sometimes Becky and I would take Aviva, or sometimes I would go with my friend Ugo, and we would ride the Metro North up the Harlem Line. We would get off at some random little town, walk through town, and find a trailhead. Maybe spend the day walking around a mountain or just going down a piece of the Croton Aqueduct. Now, often in the popular mind, hiking means gear. You gotta have the right gear, right? And it's true that sometimes carrying the right gear really can make the difference between a joyful hike and a miserable hike, or even between a safe hike and a dangerous one. But the question is, how much gear? And which gear? Because too many handy things will leave you with a heavy pack and will transform your miles into misery. So for me, every good hike has to begin not only with the gathering up of the things I need to take on my hike, but also the removal of things out of that pile that aren't really essential, that I really should leave behind. That's why a smaller backpack is better than a bigger backpack. Because with a smaller, lighter backpack, I can cover more miles with more joy than I would when I was weighed down by just one or two super handy things that I might need just in case, and there's room in the pack, so why not? So how does this relate to today's gospel, you might be wondering? Well, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, right? And he was kind of a scary guy. He wore rough clothes. He lived out in the desert. He was kind of a loner. And he was not polite company. John the Baptist was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. I'm not sure that he would find welcome in a lot of Episcopal churches. He would threaten people, urging them to a baptism of repentance. When certain Pharisees came out to be baptized by him because it seemed like a nice thing to do, not as much out of personal conviction or desire to change, John responded to them in a less than polite fashion, calling them a brood of vipers, a bunch of snakes. Maybe it was the pastoral thing to do. John also spoke prophetically of the coming Messiah. John prepared the way for Jesus and spoke of one who would come and deal with the people even more harshly than John did. Listen to what John says. "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Christ is coming, says John, with the Holy Spirit and fire. With an iron tool he will separate the wheat and the chaff will be burnt in a fire that never ends. John was expecting something fierce. Now, if you hear this passage from the point of view of 20th century American fundamentalism or evangelicalism, you might be inclined to think that John is predicting Jesus' work of judgment, bringing some to heaven and consigning others to hell. Right? This is a popular get-what-you-deserve kind of theology that has dominated American religion for the last century and more. But I wonder, is that the only way to interpret this passage? Is it even the best way? Let's take a closer look at John's illustration. John's talking about Jesus as if he was a miller, right? a grain processor. Grain goes through this whole process from the field to the table. It's not like an apple that you can just pluck off the tree and start munching. Harvesting grain is a laborious process. Do you remember what the disciples did when they were wandering through the grain field one Sabbath and they were hungry? They plucked some heads of grain. They started rubbing them in their hands. That's the threshing part, right? It separates the food part, the grains, wheat grains, from the chaff, from the stalk and the little things that held the grain in place. Now, in Jesus' day, threshing might have been done by just having your livestock walk back and forth across the grain, just crushing it, right? Or maybe if you had a wagon, you could push the wagon back and forth across. And that would break apart the grain and prepare it for being sorted out. And then once the stalk and the head and those things that had given those grains life had been separated, then you would take the winnowing fork and throw the whole mess up in the air. The grain would fall right back to the ground because it was so small and had no surface area. But the chaff, it was bigger, and the wind would catch it and blow it away. And so you'd be left with just the grain. Now, if you collected a bunch of that chaff, right, think about it. It's lightweight, it's dry, and it has a big surface area. This was super flammable. Right? Imagine if we had left that garland in here a couple more weeks. Right? It'd be the kind of thing where you set it off and there's no stopping it. Right? That is an unquenchable fire. Right? That's a fire you're not putting out. It's going to burn hot, it's going to burn fast, and there's going to be nothing left. So the illustration that John is using of threshing grain, Jesus with the winnowing fork separating wheat and chaff, isn't necessarily one about dividing up people into categories like good and bad. When I read the Bible, I hear Jesus telling me that all of us have sinned and fallen short. Right? I hear Jesus saying that no one is good except God alone. So what else might be going on here? Maybe John is talking about what Jesus is going to do inside a person. Right? Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We still associate the Holy Spirit with baptism into Jesus' name. And in baptism, we take our lives, the good parts, the bad parts, the ugly parts, and we offer them all up to God. Life can often feel like threshing, can't it? Like we're being beaten on every side. Things happen. Illnesses come around. Children struggle. Relationships are strained. Money is tight. Mistakes are made. And so we find ourselves buffeted and beaten like grain that is being threshed. Sometimes things shake loose, right? And we shift in our priorities or our perspectives. Something happens. I don't know that God intends or wants for hurtful things to happen to us. But they sure happen, don't they? And so in baptism, we take that whole mess and we throw it up and we offer it to God like a clump of wheat and chaff all mixed together. And we say, hey, can you do something with this? And God can. And so as evil surfaces in our lives, right? Evil from outside that comes and hits us upside the head. Evil that comes from within as we find things in ourselves that we don't like or we're not comfortable with or that we're still growing in. Jesus is standing there with a winnowing fork inviting us to shake those things loose, to cast them off into the path of the Holy Spirit. The word spirit, it's a Greek word. It means breath or wind. When we are able to let go of the things that are hurting us, to toss them up into God's care, that Holy Spirit, that holy wind is just waiting to blow them away, to burn them in the unquenchable fire so they can never touch us again. I don't know about you, But I have some stuff that I can't wait to see blown away and burned up, because I don't want to deal with it anymore. So this morning I invite you to take those things that weigh you down and to offer them up to God in prayer. To ask God, what about this? And listen for a response. Or maybe you need to take that and you need to go find a friend or someone you can trust and tell them about it. Maybe you need to see a priest and make confession. We have a right for that. It takes time to learn to hear God's voice. But maybe, in the end, that's the whole point of these lives that we're living. So most people, like me, when they go out hiking, they take too much stuff. The longer the trip, the more too much it is. Because, you know, we feel like if we have it, then we ought to use it. Sometimes we feel insecure without it. When's the last time you left your house without your cell phone? But often, that stuff just weighs us down without adding to the joy of the day. What extra burdens are you carrying around? What do you need to let go of today? What are you ready to see carried off by God's holy wind and burned in unquenchable fire? Remember your baptism. At baptism, you were given the Holy Spirit, the holy wind, and that holy wind still blows through you, waiting for you to release things one by one so that they can be carried off out of your hair. The task that's before you, the task that's before me, it's the same. Whether we can release the things that we no longer need, let them go. Amen.
Amen.